Your Life, Your Wealth continues. Here again, Steve Cordasco.
I'm going to reference in this segment a fair amount from a recent Wall Street Journal article, and it's titled, How Much Money Will You Really Spend in Retirement? Probably a lot more than you think, according to Dan Ariely and Aline Holsworth. They write for the Wall Street Journal, and they both study behavioral science on money and issues evolving around people's behaviors with their money, their wealth. And they do it at Duke University. So yes, they wear two hats. They write from time to time for the Wall Street Journal, as well as work at Duke University teaching, as well as studying how people think about money and what they do with money. And specifically in this particular case, we're talking about retirement. Here's the question that they ask. How much money will I need in retirement? That's what's on most pre-retirees' minds. So, how do you go about answering the question, how much money will I need in retirement? As the professors write, the typical approach most people take is to ask what percentage of their final salary they think they'll need in retirement. If you ever visited a financial advisor, you must have been asked this sort of question. You most likely dedicated, according to the professors, a whole minute, maybe two or three, formulating your answer. Frankly, I got to agree with them. For years and years, as I was brought up in the financial service industry, the rule of thumb was that you would need 70% roughly of your pre-retirement, pre-tax income. And maybe that's what is sticking with people. Maybe that's why the 70% number that financial advisors default to is the one that they readily use. But the bottom line is, it's an exercise that takes no more than 10 minutes. In my career now, doing planning and helping pre-retirees transition to retirement, and also helping those in retirement get through retirement with a main goal, and that is to have a good quality of life in retirement. Comfort, less anxiety, less worry. But yet it seems that as people like you and me transition closer to retirement, and we know people in retirement, their anxiety level seems to be higher than ever before. Much of it has to do with the main fear, the number one fear most retirees have, and that is running out of money in retirement. So there's got to be a better way. The thing most advisors ask you is how much you're going to need to live in retirement. And guess what? They're relying on you to tell them what that number is. For most of you, from what the science shows, it's not that easy to answer. Therefore, we revert to an easy formula, rule of thumb. And when it can't be answered, that's when most advisors default to that rule of thumb, 70%. Or how about this one? They ask you to bring your budget, how much you spend today, what type of lifestyle are you leading today? And then they go ahead and do a calculation based off of that. Some advisors even try to help by asking, what's on your bucket list? Before quickly jumping to math and numbers. Why? Because for many financial advisors, the numbers are the safe zone. Numbers are what makes them the experts. Numbers can be confusing for a lot of people. Therefore, because of the confusing numbers, there's this underlying psychology from a lot of those in the financial service business that let me show them just how complicated this is, and they're going to need me. And what do most people struggle with? Numbers. Therefore, let me show my expertise in the numbers. And ultimately, what you have is you have somebody like a pre-retiree who's about to enter a whole new way of life who now has a plan being driven by numbers. It's no wonder so many who plan for retirement and then that day comes where they venture into retirement that they have anxiety. They just don't have confidence in their plan, probably because they don't understand it, because advisors revert to numbers. the markets, returns, type of investments you're going to need. Oh, let me tell you about Social Security. Do you know the rules of Social Security? If you don't, that means you need me more. And then let's take a look at your budget, because then we'll really crank some numbers out here. Percentage returns. The results that many advisors craft is a plan that you, the retiree or future retiree, really never get comfortable with. It doesn't have clarity. It doesn't give you peace of mind. It doesn't show you that you can have confidence that you can live your best life and not run out of money. Here's what the professors found, which is interesting, is that you're going to need a lot more money than what most believe they're going to need in retirement. Yeah. Again, Ehrlich and Holdsworth both work in the field of behavioral science and economics, finance, and life at Duke University. And what they did was they invited hundreds of people, different age groups, income levels, and professions to their research lab, and they asked them how much of their salary they thought they would need in retirement. The answer most people gave was 70%. So, how do you go about getting a better and more accurate view of your life and wealth so that you can have more confidence in retirement? Here is what I suggest you do, and it's what we do at Credasco Financial Network. The key is to uncover what you will need in those retired years, as opposed to what you think you will need. Now, listen closely. A good advisor will be able to uncover what you're going to need, as opposed to a self-directed approach that might be a do-it-yourselfer if that's you, or a financial advisor if that's you, opposed to what you think you're going to need or what you think your client's going to need, because that's what your client told you that they think they need. I know, sounds confusing. But the key you need to know here is that we got to get a more accurate reading going into retirement of the life you want to lead. That is your best life. And then from there and uncovering what that is, then get to numbers. Let's take a look. The professors took a group of participants and asked them specific questions about how they want to spend their time in retirement. And then based on this information, attached reasonable numbers to their preferences and computed what percentage of their salaries they're actually going to need to support that lifestyle in their retirement. The results were startling. The percentage that the professors came up with was 130%, meaning that most pre-retirees are going to have to save double the amount they originally thought. Not 70, 130%. So if you're making 100 grand, you better have 130 set aside, not 70 as what your expense number is going to be. Say that again? How could that be? You're working, your last year of work, you're making 100,000. The rule of thumb is, according to a lot of financial advisors, you'll need 70%. So you're going to need $70,000. Should be able to get by year over year, adjusted to inflation, 70 grand at 70% of what you were earning when you were working. What this lab has found in their scientific study at Duke University is that it's more than what you're earning that last year of work. $130,000. So retiring is going to cost you money, where most people have thought, as many advisors had said, you're going into retirement, you'll spend less. This is earth-shaking to some. And that brings a new question. How can this be? So let's think about it. According to the behavioral finance experts, and what they found in the lab, is that working is actually very cheap activity. When you work, never mind the fact that you're making money, you aren't spending as much. There's no time to spend money at work. And when we do spend money, it's often paid for by our employers. You might say, oh, my employer, are you kidding me? Anchor in his pocket, how's he spending money? Well, many companies pay for coffee. They pay for travel, team building activities, social events after work, and you have a built-in social group. When we retire, according to the professors, it's as if we took 10 waking hours of our workday and it's been freed up to do as we please. Every day becomes just like a weekend. And if you want to go through your own budget, take a look at where money gets spent. Is it on weekends more than weekdays? Statistically, it is. Every day becomes just like a weekend. And on weekends, we have all kinds of time and opportunities to spend money. We shop, we travel, we buy tickets for events, we eat out. And guess what? This generation of retirees, those are nearing retirement, and some of you in that beginning phase of retirement, we want to do what we want to do. We want to live our best life. And giving up some of the things that we did when we worked as rewards on the weekends can often become habit during the week to fill time, to avoid boredom, to stay engaged, to feel young and relevant and pertinent. So the professors found something that for me, I've known for some time, and I guess doing planning over the years has always gotten me thinking of better ways to do something. So it's been a long time since we at Cardasco Financial Network used a 70% rule. Crafting a plan for retirement's not just about the numbers, and that's a lot of what we try to teach. It's about living the life you want after your committed slash career working years. I'll give you the approach the professor suggests and share that with you. The approach is something that we do use already at Cardasco Financial Network, but it's not what we use first. So let me give you what the professors do. We'll take a break and then I'll come back and give you the approach we take at CFN. And I plan to have the professors on to talk behavioral finance in future programs because I want everybody to hear how we as an industry can make planning people's retirements better, because there's too much anxiety from people in retirement or nearing retirement about running out of money, not having enough money, and frankly, not living the quality of life that they want. So here's what the professor suggests and what they were able to come up with based on their lab to uncover what you'll need to support your retirement. Okay, ready? They say, try this exercise for yourself. Close your eyes, picture a single representative year in retirement. Live it the best way you can imagine. That doesn't mean more expensive way, it just means the best. Now, answer the following questions. I'm going to rattle these quickly, and then we take a break. We'll come back, and then I'll share with you an overlay. So, as they say in a recent Wall Street Journal article, we know that just thinking about retirement, not to mention doing the math, can be overwhelming. So, they say, pour yourself a glass of wine and make this rewarding process happen for yourself. You ready? They start with eating in or out. Do you like to cook? Do you prefer to go out to eat? Digital services. What are the digital services you pay for now? Do you have cable? Do you have video games? Do you have apps and software? Online courses that you take? What are the digital services that you're going to use in retirement? How do you recharge? Recreational and personal services. Do you like to pamper yourself? Do you imagine yourself in retirement reading a book on the beach, treating yourself to an occasional $15 manicure, going to luxury spas for treatment? Do you get massage? Do you belong to a country club? Do you want to belong to a country club? Travel. How often do you travel? Where do you travel? What type of travel do you like to do? What type of travel in your 60s do you want to do and 70s? Entertainment. How will you spend your time in retirement? What sorts of event will you attend? How much do you want to spend on opera, concert, musicals, ballet, sports events, museums, classes, so on? Shopping. Are you a shopper? Basic needs, utilities, housing, healthcare. Now, do the math. Now that you have a guide for determining roughly how much you'd like to spend in each category, you're ready to add everything up. So now they get to the numbers. The next step in the process is to translate your annual amount to the total amount you'll need over the course of your full retirement. For most of us, according to the professors, it's going to be 20 years. Please give me more, professors. Will you please give me more than 20 years? But then again, if your money's going to run out, you're probably hoping for less years. But bottom line is, they're giving you a way to try to get to your number. And it's by you shutting your eyes and imagining what a given year in your retirement would look like and trying to narrow it down. Let me share with you the approach we take at Cardasco Financial Network. And the key is to help you uncover and determine the cost of the type of best life you want in retirement. We do very similar work like the professor suggests. Then we take an added step. But this step we take first. And the step is, we ask you to list things that are a priority to you and put these priorities in order. We separate husbands and wives. Do you know why? Because there's biases that can come in to play. So we start with about 25 categories, and we have husband and wife each list what is most important out of these 25 key areas that we found through behavioral science studies that are very important to people. For example, protect my family if I'm not around is one. Support my charitable causes. Prepare for the unexpected. Income security and a safety net. Grow as a person. Expand my passions. Spend time with the people I care about. Spend guilt-free. Improve and maintain health and wellness. Support charitable causes. Leave a legacy. Minimize taxes. Support other family members. All of these are important categories, and we ask to prioritize them. And we try to uncover what someone might not know leading into retirement. That's not easy to do because there's biases. Oftentimes, if there's a couple going into retirement together, which is the majority that we find that we work with, there's a silent spouse. So for example, where a man might be sitting there thinking about what his retirement looks like, and he's swinging a golf club in Florida, his wife might be thinking about spending time with the grandchildren. So what we do is we then begin the process by asking people to prioritize what's important for them to live their best life from here on out. And we give 25 cards. We narrow those cards down, 10 for the husband, 10 for the wife, and then we got to narrow it down to just 5 between them. They're not allowed to talk when they're coming up with their own. But they're allowed to talk when they're merging together to come up with 5 cards. So out of 25 cards, things that are most important to people. And you got to remember, everybody wants 10 in there because there's 10 important pieces. But we're telling you to come up with 5, the most important. That's key, because what happens is it takes bias out. It doesn't allow one spouse to dominate and get the other one to say, yeah, I'll go along with that because it's what he wants, so I'm going to give in. By not having the two communicate gives us what that one individual truly has as a top priority. Then dialogue begins when we try to merge these top priorities together. What we find is the longer people have been married, the more correlation they have in their top priorities. So out of 5 cards, 3 will probably be in line. 2 will not. But that's the beauty of the dialogue. And the questions asked, why do you want to leave a legacy? What does a legacy look like to you? We uncovered not long ago that, you know, somebody said, I want my kids to, you know, be rewarded. I didn't have time to spend with them when I was working. And so the question gets tossed out, of course, by us on the team here at Cardasco Financial Network. Tell us what that looks like to you. And then we ask them, would you like to see them get some inheritance while you're still here and enjoy it? 95% of the time they say yes. So now we've just uncovered that it's not seeing the reward or giving the reward or the legacy after. So it opens up this dialogue. And then what we can do is go in and then take the other part of this, of what it's going to cost to achieve those priorities, and then working together to make sure the priorities happen. And when priorities happen, goals get reached. We then back into numbers. So here's how much you'll need in returns. Here's how much of the stock market you'll need. Here's why you won't need so much stock market. And here's some resources. If it's educating loved ones, what does that mean? Oh, that means your grandkids? And what kind of education? Is that college or spending time with them and just showing them how to cast a fishing line? That's the approach we take at Cardasco Financial Network. You can visit us at cfnplan.com to see how we do it. I think it's a great article in the Wall Street Journal. We're looking to have those folks on soon. If we get to better planning, we get to retirees that have more comfort and clarity in the retirement. I'm Steve Cardasco. Thanks for listening. Send me an email, asksteve@cfnplan.com. Tell me what you think of what we covered today. Our approach to retirement, does it sound like it makes sense to you? And is it similar to what you're doing or different? And if you have a retirement plan and you're saying, hey, that's very different than mine, let us review your retirement plan. We'll give you our opinion on whether it's going to achieve what you want it to achieve, and that is to live your best life in those years of retirement. Send me an email, asksteve@cfnplan.com. Thanks for being part of the program.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.